Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy.
This is Janet McKean from Carol, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM, hands-on radio.
If you can't make your local town meetings but want to attend, WGXC can help. Currently, local volunteers make recordings and live web streams of the Catskill Town Meetings, the Hudson Common Council Meetings, and the Columbia County Board of Supervisor Meetings. If you miss the live web streams, volunteers post recordings of these meetings as soon as possible at WGXC.org on the newsroom page and in the audio archives. If you're going to local meetings and you have a phone in your pocket, you can help too. Email info@WGXC.org and WGXC will help you share recordings of local meetings and events. You can also use the free WGXC app, available in the App Store, to do your own live webcast from local events. Contact info@WGXC.org for more information about how you can help share valuable local information about your community with your friends and neighbors. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bindlestiff Family Circus of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Good evening. You're listening to Tech Talk with Bill and Ralph, coming to you live from a secret location in the hinterland. You are listening live to WGXC Radio 90.7 FM. Mr. Ralph, could you give the call-in numbers to our delectable and savory show?
And to our delectable and savory listeners, don't forget that.
Yes. Oh, yes. There's nothing more savory than a listener.
Hello, those of you who are plagued with technology glitches, as embodied by Bill Collier over here on Bill and Ralph's Most Excellent Adventure on WGXC, call in to 518-622-2598 to come up with the hardest questions you possibly can in order to play Stump the Bill Collier, our favorite sport. So hello, Hudson Valley, and welcome to all WGXC listeners. Bill, have you been, I know you've been sort of focused in on the presidential election.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm focusing in on TikTok.
But I suspect that once in a while you break discipline and focus in on technology, consumer technology. Have you found any interesting articles? I found one this.
Listen, stop.
I found one today. That says that
I'm going to make a projection. TikTok will not be banned. TikTok will go on. And I, Bill Collier, will be able to do my own TikTok channel with happiness and peace. Bill, that is my only projection.
Bill, you also projected that Donald Trump would win the presidency and that the Republicans would win the House of Representatives.
About your alleged event that occurred on November 3rd that means nothing to me.
Okay. Well, Bill, when I was reading the technology news today, I discovered, and there was an article that said that if you fall into a black hole, you will come out the other side. And since that seems antithetical to the very nature of a black hole, and since this is a technology show, which is right next door to a science show, I figured, how can you lie your way out of this one, Bill Collier?
Wait a minute. You want me to convince you that somebody's saying that if you go through a black hole, you will come out the other side?
If you fall into a black hole, you will come out the other side.
But would it be you?
Of course it would be me.
No. It would look like you.
It's all about me.
It would have the same atoms as you, but would it be you?
Well, I guess it all depends.
Would it be a duplication of you, but the real you died when you were turned into spaghetti molecules?
What I want to know, though, is how will Apple,
Google,
or Facebook make money out of this?
Apple will screw this one up for sure.
I guess.
Whatever you do, if you're going to do this, use an Android app to do it.
Oh, Android apps are so lame. What you really want is an iOS Apple app, Macintosh app, Macintosh Apple. So here we are at 518-622-2598 with listeners all across the country and the world. And here we are on Tech Talk on WGXC, waiting for the hardest questions you can possibly come up with in order to play Stump the Collier, or possibly unravel some of the complications that you, our beloved listeners, have managed to get yourself into. So, beloved listeners, who is out there and what questions do you have? And if you are still developing those questions, Bill, what is the consumer tech news of the week?
Well, this isn't consumer tech. You saw the fireworks after Joe Biden's speech.
Oh my God, they were awesome.
So
I did.
Okay, so they were drones.
Really?
And so they were drones that emitted light and had a GPS thing that it told it to move in a certain way. So they moved around the sky. So this is a high tech. It was a low carbon high tech fireworks display.
Oh my God, I was wondering how they did that with the big 46 in the sky and the big Biden-Harris in the sky and the die Trump scum. Oh, wait a minute.
That was over your house.
It wasn't mine. It was not mine. I did not vote for, I voted for the best candidate in the field.
There's a big arrow pointing at your house. I might have accidentally put your address in as the biggest Trump scum supporter on the planet. I might have accidentally done that. I'm just saying, maybe.
How accidental was that, Bill? Really, when you look in the mirror?
I was in between TikTok videos.
I see.
I was absolutely on that. What tech news do you have, Mr. Ralph? Because I've got
I told you the tech news that I've read this week said that if you fall into a black hole, you will actually come out the other side. So I'm now waiting for you, Bill, the geek in this relationship, to conjure up a black hole so I could swan dive in and find out if this latest scientific revelation is real or not.
If only, because I would love to do that and see what happened. I'd love to, yes.
You would love it if I never came out the other side. I know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is, well, let's go back to actual technology.
Yes.
So here's another piece of news about technology that's not so pleasant. Faked nude images of 100,000 women. So basically they get their face and they create these fake nudes of them.
Wait a minute. Are we talking about fake news or fake nudes?
That, We've gone from fake news to fake nudes.
I like the direction this is heading in.
The state of Virginia was the first state to outlaw deep fakes. And I see that as a growing thing now. But why is it that, I love the ladies. I love the ladies. And why is it that every time these new crazy things happen, it's always the ladies that suffer? I don't understand. We got to do something. We got to defend the ladies. We got to do something about these deepfakes.
Follow
Virginia's lead in banning them.
In banning the ladies?
No, heavens no. The deepfakes, the fake nudes.
Unfortunately, this is radio, so you can't actually show us what you're talking about.
I don't want to show you that.
But if you would just, give me the URL of the site where I can go and personally investigate the fake nudes for the virtue of the country, to protect the virtue of America, of course, then I will be happy to sacrifice my eyeballs to this extraordinarily traumatic event.
Wow, that's incredibly bad. I'm going to move on now.
MoveOn.org. Okay.
Here's something that I think you'll really enjoy. If you've seen these ads, the Homescape and Gardenscape ads, where you're supposed to go in and do things to help people escape or whatever. They showed a game, where users pull pins in a specific order to solve a puzzle. But the problem is that the games are not actually advertising what's in them. I don't know if you've seen these ads, but they're like all over, they're all over the internet, and they're a pain. I never click on them. Because what's interesting is I always thought that they were fake.
Yes. Deep fake or shallow fake?
No, these are not legitimately what they seem.
Yes.
I can't believe that you have not seen these ads. We have people.
People? So, you mean like caller-inners?
Yes, we have Hank in Hastings, I think.
Oh, Hank from Hastings on Hudson. Welcome, Hank.
Hastings on Hudson. Bring it to us.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. Give us exactly what we deserve, Hank.
Oh, God, no, not that. Give Bill exactly what he deserves, but spare me.
Well, because you often go into the lofty reaches of knowledge, I'm going to bring us very much down to earth because this is more of an engineering question, I guess.
Good.
But I have several power banks, and it's a line called Jackery. They're very good. And the bigger ones, the ones that have more capacity, also say that they have a pure sine wave output. The smallest one has, I think, a modified sine wave output. And I have this vague impression, if I understood what I was reading, that the pure sine wave is better for electronics. But I wondered if either of you knows, does this apply to all electronics, or is it more for the higher life forms like laptops and iPads? And can I still, because what I'm still doing with my lowly iPhone, I'm charging that one on the modified sine wave power bank, and it seems to be working okay. I mean, I've not had a problem yet. But do you know anything about this? Do I have to worry about always using a pure sine wave?
Well, generally the pure sine wave is better. You can use a modified sine wave, but there are, if you already have a
Excuse me. So if you already have a pure sine wave.
I have both. I have several power banks, and one of them has just the modified. The others have the pure.
So I'll ask you four questions. Is your device or appliance, does it use a motor?
Wait, Bill, before you launch into
this
esoterica, what the heck is a sine wave?
I'm not going to try to explain sine wave. It's a whole... It has to do with the frequencies that it outputs.
Huh.
As a matter of fact, the name of your station, or I think that your station's name is Wave, it's Wave Farm, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, so...
So I think that might be a play of words on wave form, which is shape, the shape of a wave, and different waves.
You have figured it out. Don't tell anybody.
No. I always look at that wave form. I always get a little chuckle. Yeah. So sine wave, I do know, I mean, just from music, electronic music, I know that sine wave is this wave form that has a very smooth up and down, as opposed to some others that have a different, like a square or a triangular. But that's all I really know. And I was just wondering whether this is a critical difference between the modified and pure. And if so, for what electronics do I need to be very careful and use my pure sine wave?
There you go, Bill.
So if you have a device that's using a motor, if it's a delicate piece of medical equipment, or if it's something that's really a fine-tuned device...
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to add the pure. If it uses a rectifier or if it can be powered by a DC adapter, you're probably okay with a modified. Those are just two rules of thumb.
I'm sorry, because we don't have a great connection. What did you say before you said DC adapter?
So, and you probably don't have this, but do you have a device or appliance that uses a rectifier?
That uses a collect. What is an apple?
A rectifier.
I guess I don't.
yeah, it's not a common...
Bill, what is a rectifier?
Yeah, what is that?
So...
Is that one of the things that those guys in the UFOs do when they abduct people?
You know...
No, that's how they landed that thing in Poughkeepsie last night. No.
Oh my God! Really? In Poughkeepsie? Hello, Poughkeepsie.
Apparently, a meteor fell.
A rectifier converts AC into DC. That's a lot better.
Oh, okay. Converts AC into DC. Hmm.
Yeah. So, if you're not if you're using those things, then modulated is fine. I don't normally have anything that I have to worry about choosing sine waves on. But always go with the pure, baby.
Look, are sine waves anything like Seinfeld?
Less funny.
Although sine waves have more meaning in them than Seinfeld ever would or could.
Yes, but Seinfeld was a comedy about nothing, so that says nothing. How can you have less than nothing? You can't. Except, of course, on Tech Talk. So... Hank from Hastings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for an absolutely exquisite.
Hank, do you feel like that I've answered the question, or do you feel that Ralph has just distracted us?
I want to make sure that I was clear in my situation. I'm using these things to charge my devices. I'm not necessarily. Well, I guess sometimes I do run them from these power banks also. So I just want to make sure I was clear about that.
Yeah, I personally would not, for my computer, use a modulated sine wave for recharging it.
For your computer, okay. But for your, let's say for your phone, if you were recharging your phone, would you be concerned as much?
She's got you probably there, not. Bill. Dead to
probably
rights.
Probably not. It's so... Your phones are little precious devices.
Oh. Yes. Yes, they are.
Don't you still use those twisted pair landlines with those curly little wires from the handset to the base? I mean, you're way out there in the extreme wilds of Pennsylvania, where they're still trying to get into the 20th century. So, are you telling me you have an actual flip phone or something modern?
I have something extraordinarily modern. It's probably more advanced than anything you've ever seen, but I don't want to.
I have an iPhone 6S, so eat your heart out.
That is great.
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line, though, is if you're using a modulated sine wave and it is charging your phone just fine and you're not having problems, I wouldn't stop. Probably not that big a deal. I'm more just super extra cautious. And so I bought UPS systems, and I never bought anything but a pure sine wave UPS system. I just never thought of going any other way.
I gotcha. Okay. Better safe than sorry, isn't it?
Yeah, you're probably not going to blow your phone up if you're using a modulated sine wave.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought, too, but it's good to hear it from the experts.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you both very much indeed. Wish you a good night.
Thank you, Hank. Thank you so much for calling in. You always have the most interesting questions.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Good night.
Okay.
And hey, we've got Michael in Portland. Line two. Hey, Michael in Portland, line two. Are you there?
Hold on just a second. 518-622.
Yes, I am.
2598 is open and available to call and get in line. Go ahead, Michael.
All right. How's everyone doing tonight?
It is doing fantastic. Michael, do you have your TikTok channel started yet?
I've seen Collier do better. But he is struggling to keep up, and he has a question for you, Michael from Portland. Do you have your TikTok channel signed up yet?
Oh, yes, I do have my TikTok channel set up. It's called Nori the Narwhal.
And how many TikTok
Wait a minute. Nori, followers, the, Nori,
followers
the,
do you have, Mike?
Nori the Narwhal, N-O-R-I, or N... How do you spell Nori?
Yeah, N-O-R-I.
Nori.
I will have to clandestinely follow you.
Why clandestinely? Well, you should just be come right out of the closet and follow Nori the Narwhal, which I plan to do too. So
Narwhals live for a very long time. How did you pick that name? It's a great name. You know, we should probably get to your question before we get scatterbrained, because I have seen a narwhal. Well, when I was in Iceland.
When were you in Iceland?
I was out on a boat way out in the middle of nowhere near Greenland. But ask your question, Michael.
So my question has to do with AI and language.
You love to use some AI. Great.
I've heard of this happening two times, one in the Google lab and one in the Facebook lab, is that when they're developing AI, sometimes it seems rare, but it seems they say they always shut them off when this happens, and I'm not sure why, but it might be a protocol. The AI begins to deviate from human language and start talking in language. The famous quote is, I, everything else. That they understand as a negotiating system. My question is, what's going on here? Why is AI developing this strange language that only robots seem to understand? What's the mechanics behind it? I know a lot of it has to do with the way they're naming things and bargaining, but do you have any more clarity on that?
Well, wait, before we can put the question, we have to establish the predicate. And we have to make sure there are no conflicts of interest. Bill Collier, it is widely rumored, the internet believes,
that you are, in fact, an AI. So we are asking you point blank, Mr. Collier, are you or are you not an AI?
Astakamba balabanashanama.
Well,
that's all I'm going to say about that.
And all I have to say in return is Klaatu Barada Nikto.
That's a made up thing from fiction, whereas Akamanashanama is AI speak. Not that I'm AI.
Not that you're AI. You deny being AI. So in your fake news denial that you are an AI, would you please answer Michael in Portland's question, which had something to do about AI?
So I'm actually looking at the actual article here. It's a digitaljournal.com. July 27, 2017 is actually when this first happened. So they shut down AI because it invented its own language. And mostly it was because it looks like the researchers themselves needed to understand how the robots were negotiating with each other. And that made it difficult for them to kind of follow them. So it was like Bob's later statements such as I, everything else indicate how it was using language to offer more items to Alice. When interpreted like this, the phrases appear more logical than comparable English phrases like I'll have three and you have everything else. It appeared more logical to the robot, I guess, but not to us. It was just a bunch of eyes. So I don't think there was any kind of like, oh my God, they're going to build the Tower of Babel and reach the heavens and tear down God from the sky. I think it was more like, we have to understand what these robots are doing and how they're going to get, because that was what the whole purpose of the thing was. So if they're going to speak in a way that the human observers can't understand, it doesn't do them any good to see what's going on.
Michael from Portland, well, that, I had no idea what sense. That answer meant, but you might have. Are you satisfied?
Oh, Michael understands because unlike you, Michael is well read.
Well, let's ask Michael. He might be well blue. You know, after this election, red, blue, purple.
Oh my goodness!
You just can't assume.
I have no Michael, idea what you're talking about. Something happened on November 3rd of a meteor or something. But go ahead.
Yeah, the sweet meteor of death. Michael from Portland, did that answer your question, or did it just sow massive confusion over all throughout the internet?
No, it actually answered my question. That is the, I think, from what I understand, the running theory about why the robots started to communicate like that. It was more opaque to humans, but it made more sense. It was more efficient to the robots. So I think since they'd been given a task to do in the most efficient way, they started doing it in the most efficient way. It just happened to be really confusing to the humans who were watching.
Yes. And I for one welcome our robot overlords.
I know you have wonderful sub-like qualities.
I do feel like I will finally get the recognition that I deserve when that day comes.
To serve man as that wonderful classic story by David Knight was entitled. But that said, we have Betsy Betsy from line one over there on line one. So Michael from Portland,
Bob Butler. Thank you
for a completely baffling question, but you failed to stump the Collier. Call back next week. Better luck next time.
Thank you.
No pressure on me, though. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Betsy, are
Good
you
evening.
There? Betsy
Good
from
evening,
line
gentlemen.
One.
Well,
by the way,
I have
does
to say
line,
right
does
after,
line
right
one after. Have two U.S. senators, or is that a pars pro toto?
Oh, I don't know the answer to that question.
Where are you? If you're not from line one, where are you from, and what is your question?
Well,
Betsy?
I'm from Franklin County, Vermont, the northwest corner of the state. And
Wait.
I want to say right up front, I'm not a robot, but I have played one on stage before.
You played a robot on stage, and where was that stage?
Well, it was community theater, as so often is the case, but I had the privilege of playing the role of Kalida, who was a robot who turned murderous in a play called Rossum's Universal Robots, called RUR, which was written by a Czech playwright whose name escapes me at the moment in the 1920s and is sort of the progenitor for all of the subsequent robot fiction that gave rise to Terminator and iRobot and everything else, where the robots take over the world and do away with the humans because they've become redundant.
The author's name was Carl Capek.
That's right.
It was the actual origination of the word robot that has now entered the mainstream vocabulary. So RUR, Rossum's Universal Robots, was written by the Czech playwright Carl Capek, and you get many props, not to mention kudos, not to mention cooties from Bill Collier for actually knowing the derivation of where the word robot derived from. So bravo to you, Betsy from Vermont.
Well, we are the robots. Anyway, my question for you gentlemen tonight is about Signal, which I'm trying to understand better, and encryption. The New Yorker recently had an article about Moxie Marlinspike, who seems to be the progenitor of Signal, and also, interestingly, from the state of Georgia, which surprises me a little bit, but that got me intrigued, and I signed up for Signal, and it seems to be desirable to encrypt our messages, but perhaps it's fear of the robot overlords or maybe just the National Security Administration. But I wondered if you gentlemen could shed more light on encryption.
Well, Bill is no gentleman. He's a rogue. He's an errant rogue. So if you just are willing to pay tribute to him as an errant rogue rather than as a gentleman, he might actually be able to shed some darkness on your question.
Well, that would be interesting.
End-to-end encryption is what the system uses. What end-to-end encryption means that there's an encryption code on your device when you have Signal installed. There's an encryption code on their device, and when your signal reaches their signal, it can decrypt it between the two of you, but anybody in between has no key to decrypt the message. So if they intercept the message, they hear gobbledygook.
Kind of like listening to Tech Talk, huh?
No. The opposite, because Tech Talk is brilliance. People listen to Tech Talk. Thank you. It is brilliance. So encryption is really cool. It garbles the signal according to a set pattern. So if it's like ones and ohs, so it disrupts those things, moves them around in weird ways. And then at the other end, it takes the signal and it puts it back together again, because it's just a digital signal. It's really hard to break. It used to be in the past, how you would do that is I would send you a message written in some code, and then you would have this thing, and you'd have like might be 500 different ways that you could move these rolls or blocks or something, that or just numbers that you knew correlated to things. But if somebody didn't have the key, they'd only have a 1 in 500 shot of guessing the right code. Well, with encryption today, you have more like a 1 in some astronomical number that we can't calculate, or a huge number, chance of actually decrypting that code, because the actual code, the number, is like super long. So I use Signal for confidential business communications. I'm not really worried about the government eavesdropping on me. There's nothing I do that's interesting to them, right, NSA guys? But I do appreciate...
Oh, Bill, you are totally boring to the NSA guys.
I mean, you're beyond boring. You're stupefying. Wait, you're beyond stupefying. You are completely.
I can probably elucidate the plans for the reformation of society from the bottom up, and in some sort of proto-evolutionary manner that is rapidly carried out that changes the complete structure, and they would not even understand what I was talking about. It'd probably be like the censors of Figaro.
I hope not, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
If I have no idea what you're talking about, hopefully nobody else will have any idea of what you're talking about, except, of course, Betsy from Vermont. We want her to understand what you're talking about.
Deep down knows.
Well, we hope so.
Well,
anyway, so Betsy,
you've managed to
force Collier into a state of complete incomprehensibility. Congratulations. It's a first. I think we should send you at least a participation trophy, if not something even more dignified. So are you as baffled as I am, or are you actually pretending to understand what he said?
Well, I understand scraps of it. I wonder where, if he can differentiate between codes and ciphers and tell me which, if either, signal is.
Okay, so a code is just A equals 3, and you've got a thing that tells you what that code is. A cipher is an actual, it's like a digital key with a whole bunch of numbers. So a signal is a cipher.
Okay, that makes sense.
So
that
in a code,
thank God it makes sense
always
for somebody.
Equals 3 for everybody who reads the code, whereas in a cipher, if I send you one thing and somebody the other thing, the things represented by all those numbers are different for each of you.
Mm-hmm. But the cipher requires a key.
Right. Each side has a key.
Per transaction, I guess.
So when I go on Signal and I call somebody on Signal, it that device knows, because I said go ahead, I told them give that other person a key so we can talk. It gives them and only them the key. And then when I'm done with the call, there's no key. And they can't then try to use the key to listen to anything else I say, because it's a dead key now.
I see. One-time use. It was interesting to me. I was talking to my buddy Bo on Signal after talking to him on Verizon, and it was a lot easier to hear and understand him on Signal, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I think that's probably a coincidence, because there's no Signal. Well, when you were talking on Signal, was it through your computer or was it through your phone?
Phone.
So Signal might have used your Wi-Fi instead of your phone, so that's possible too.
Ah, okay. Well, that's very interesting. Well, thank you for shedding some light on Signal.
Awesome.
To be really candid, I think they'll shed some darkness on Signal. But as long as it worked for you, Betsy, as long as it worked for the billions of listeners we've got on streaming audio over the internet.
I'm sorry, did you say sinners or listeners?
I said listeners.
Okay, good.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling in, and we hope to hear from you again. Our lines are open.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our lines are open, 518-697-7400 or 518-622-2598. And I would like somebody to try to stump Banco, although that's a very low bar. But stump Banco about art and culture, because evidently he knows those things with some alacrity.
I have actually never been stumped in my 68 years, Bill.
Oh my goodness, are you kidding me?
The possibility
I have stumped you, Banco.
Well, Bill, there's a reason they call you Stumpy behind your back.
Oh, ba-dum-bum-bum.
Yeah.
So if we, so let us bring on the huddled masses yearning to breathe free, yearning to breathe free, as Emma Lazarus put it so well in her little socialistic poem inside the Statue of Liberty. So we want people to call in at 518-622-2598. We have about another 10 minutes in which we can either answer your calls or pretend to answer your calls, thereby baffling both you and the universe. So so far we have our callers have done a great job challenging Bill Collier.
We have John from New Jersey. John from New Jersey. And that is really going to be awesome.
But we have not stumped the Collier tonight. So John from New Jersey, bring it on and don't hold back.
All right. Thanks, guys. I was wondering, looking ahead now towards Christmas, thinking about what I'm going to get my dad. I was wondering if an Apple Watch is a good gift, because on the one hand, I sort of wonder why anyone would want to use the watch, you know, when they can just glance at their phone, and their phone has a much bigger screen. So I'm sort of not very interested in that technology myself, but my dad's a pretty tech-savvy, you know, 60-year-old, and he does like to play around with his iPhone. He's more knowledgeable on it than I am. So is that a good gift for him, or is there another tech-related Christmas present that I should be eyeing?
I'm just sorry. You said Apple Watch. Oh, I just threw up my mouth. So
yeah, Bill hates Apple. Bill is a Luddite who hates Apple. He still has a couple of tomato cans strung together with a string by which he communicates with other people and calls it iPhone and calls it smartphones. But given the fact that he is basically the last living Neanderthal man, we're going to give him a shot at mangling the answer to your question, John from New Jersey.
I'm not really that honestly terribly familiar with Apple Watches. I think if your dad likes it, it's a great idea, and your dad probably wants to play with it. I don't know what they come with. I assume it. I believe it's like it has a thing you put the earbuds in, which are Bluetooth. You know, the AirPods or whatever.
Yeah. No. There's nothing.
Can you answer the phone on your hand? No.
Yes, you can answer the phone on your hand.
You can answer. The phone. You could be like Spock, you know, or like put the phone up to your mouth.
Yes, you can. It counts your heartbeats and it reminds you to breathe. I was given an iPhone by the supreme mistress of the universe. That would be Laura Kuhn, who is actually secretly the producer of the show, and she got an iPhone and she just hated it.
Apple Watch, we're talking about, not an iPhone.
I'm sorry, Apple Watch, which she just hated.
I'm saying, if you could just get it right, and she, that would be awesome.
Yeah, well, yes. So she handed off the Apple Watch to me, and now I use it as a watch, and it also surveils me, so it knows how much time I spend on the internet.
It has all kinds of stuff like, you know, health related, workout related.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It has everything I don't need.
No, it has everything that you need, but are too vain and egotistical to recognize that.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to, like, me go to the gym. I'll be like, J-I-M? It's the restaurant down the road. I'll go there. Yeah, it's no problem. They have fish fries Fridays.
Yeah, no, it's G-Y-M. And, you know, I know you hate the idea of exercise and health. So it's just not for you, particularly because you're way out there in the deep rural area where things like technology have not yet been invented.
And that's not true. We have a very high tech, and I do get a lot of exercise in a lot of different ways, but I don't.
That's because you're walking bad dog.
But
and so
maybe or, John, your question
or
is
bad dog is walking you.
John, maybe your question is which
Apple Watch. Do you want the bare bones? That's the Apple Watch 3. Me, personally, if I'm going to get something, I'm going to go for the golden child. I mean, Apple Watch 5 is it's good. It's a little less expensive. You definitely don't want to go Series 1 or 2 because it's kind of old. So I'm probably going to go with, I believe that we're up to 6 now. Yeah, I would probably go with the latest one if I was doing it. And it does sound like your father would get benefit of exercise and health and other things that are, it seems to be chock full of those kind of wonderful things that somebody who is not that much older than me would actually be interested in.
Yes, but you're assuming that John doesn't want to kill his father off, which is, you know, both anti-Oedipal and who knows what John serves to inherit. So let's not be presumptuous here.
Is it true, John, that when you were 5 years old, your father said, when we die, you ask your father, where do we go when you die? And he said, heaven. And you said, no. I mean, like, when you die, do I get your stuff? Is that a true story, John?
it sounds like something I would have said at that age. Absolutely.
Well, John, I don't know whether we've successfully dodged your question.
Can't go wrong with an Android.
No, you can't go wrong with an iOS.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. No.
The Androids are just perched out there waiting to take over the world, whereas the Apple systems are here to serve us. Hello, Siri.
Oh, wait a minute. I hit the mute button by accident. I was saying something very intelligent and very smart, and it was...
There's a first time for everything. So, John from New Jersey, has Bill Collier sort of answered your question?
Yeah, that was helpful. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for calling in. Call in any Monday from 7:02 to 7:50 p.m. Tech Talk on WGXC.
That is fantastic. Now, I just want to have a word with the listeners here. I need to hear some Android love. I need it. I need it. I need it. I feel like things are rigged against Android right now with you guys. I feel like that it's definitely I want to recount. I'm not happy. I want more Android and less Apple.
That is so perfect because I want more Apple and less Android. So we've achieved a fearful symmetry here.
Does anybody know the smartwatches from Android that are, you know, pretty awesome?
Well, I don't know, but John from New York has a Christmas gift question on line 2.
He already asked it. You have to... Stay with us now. Stay with us.
I missed the Christmas gift part.
Yeah, stay with. That's what he was asking about his father, Christmas gift.
Oh, I remembered his father part, but I didn't remember the Christmas part.
Listen, so Core Track with a K, Core Track, is the Android watch that you want to get. According to smartwatchcell.com, which is just a website about smartwatches, and seems to have all the features that the Apple does, only it'll actually work. Farouk in Raleigh is on the line.
Hey, I got
Farouk. Oh, Raleigh Polly. Farouk.
Hello, Farouk.
From Raleigh.
Hello.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks so much for having me. I've been trying to get in. I got a quick question for you because I know we're running out of time. Somebody forwarded an article to me today about something I happen to know very little about, and it's called augmented reality. And I like to take pride being somewhat up to speed on emerging technologies, and I sort of get a basic reference on what augmented reality is, but it's specific to Apple. Looks like their Apple 12 product is going to come with this feature, and the article sort of highlighted in a very, very, you know, high-level way what additional products and technologies may be coming down the pike. So this kind of excited me. I figured I'd ask you guys, what do we expect? What is this augmented reality ultimately is going to do to change the way we look at handheld technologies?
Great question, Bill.
Okay, so I was going to pass this on to Ralph, but I am ready. So, you know, you've heard of virtual reality. So in virtual reality, you have these things on your head, and you're in this virtual reality. In augmented reality, you can still see things, but now there's stuff inserted into what you see. So if you're playing a game with people, you might be able to see them in your living room. If you are, let's say, you're using augmented reality for directions, and you're looking around, and literally, if you can imagine, a big green arrow saying, no, go this way, dummy. And you could see the green arrow, like, right on the street that you need to go down. And then you get to the building, and it lights up on you, and it's like, oh, this exact building is where I need to go. There's no guesswork, because it's augmented reality. You can use it. They sort of, in a way, it was used for the Pokemon game when they were running around them and they were using their phones, and you could see, you have your camera on, but then you could see like a Pokemon little, you know, one of the critters that you got to catch. So that was augmented reality because it was real, but you could actually see things. So there are many other applications to augmented reality. You could have somebody who you're getting a medical exam, and there's a picture of you, and you could see you, and then they could like show you where your heart is and different things, and it would like show up, and you could see it. It depends on what kind of sensors are in the room too. So if they have a way to detect your blood pressure or other things, they could show you that visually while they're examining you, or see it themselves. So it's just easier for them to see right there, you know, what it looks like. I can think of about a million different reasons augmented reality. If you can imagine, you're trying to learn how to put something together, and you turn the augmented reality on, and you know, when you get the stuff from the store that you got to put together from IKEA, imagine IKEA directions where you look at, they've got like codes, they've got something on the actual devices, like tiny little RFID chips or something. And when you look at it, it literally tells you, like, that's the part, and it might light up, and tells you to put that part, and then it'll tell you, light up another part, and you know to put it over with that part. So it could really help you. You're physically seeing things, but it's like showing you how to do things as well. So does that answer your question in gory
detail? Yeah, that was a great overview. That actually helped me start visualizing. I did hear, and I've never played Pokemon, but I did hear that, I understood that was essentially the same sort of technology. But I suspect, you know, from an Apple perspective, this creates a degree of longevity that this new, this type of feature gives them, you know, additional products and whatnot. And I'm sure it's going to create some competition. So I'm naturally excited about where this can go, but you gave me a really good overview on how to reference it and get an understanding of it.
I mean, gaming is an application too. If people that do Ren Faires and people that do reenacting could have augmented reality and actually see, like, if it's World War II, let's say, there's a building, and then the augmented reality, it looks like it's a World War II thing instead of the actual building. But you can still tell that it's a building, and you can still go into it. So it's like it's kind of like a mix of the real. So instead of you just imagining you're physically, you could like literally be physically touching something, but it could be made to look like something different as part of whatever game you're in.
Well, when I was in Rome, one of the things that I got was this layover book. So whenever we were at a historical spot, in that book, there were these various maps, and it is a layover page that showed you what was there, say, 2,000 years ago.
So
yeah, there's a good example.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. That's exciting. I hope that that's something we can get our.
And being a history buff myself, who you can't see it, but Ralph will tell you, I have a Kaiser Wilhelm I printed hoodie from 1870, but it's a printed hoodie of his outfit. I don't know if you've seen them. They have these clothes that they're all like some. Like I have Brezhnev, all kinds of characters.
No.
So, but imagine with augmented reality, you look at me, and if I'm in that reality, you could see me, but I look like the Kaiser, or I look like Leonid Brezhnev, you know, and I'm still me moving around, but now I'm Brezhnev. I would be very good as Brezhnev, da, Kamradsky.
Fascinating. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's exciting stuff. And thanks for giving me an overview of it. I appreciate that. Very well stated.
All right. Thanks a lot, Farouk.
All right, gentlemen. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Have a ducky day. Yep. Well, Mr. Benko, did you get any reality?
Always.
I want to have augmented reality like that you look like a decent human being.
Well, you know, you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, I think you'll find you get what you need.
You get what you need.
Yeah.
I guess I need what I have.
Okay.
And that is fantastic. So we had a nice gamut of discussions today. We went from AI learning languages to augmented reality to people wanting to buy Apple watches because they want, you know, to make their father happy, which I don't even understand the disconnect there. What else did we have on our show today?
We had
all important TikTok.
We had sine waves.
Sine waves, yes, that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody stumped the Collier.
Not so far as Collier noticed, anyway.
No, I was not stumped, and I'm going to ask our producer if he can give me an applause if I did not get stumped, or a boo if I got stumped. Go ahead,
producer.
Oh, that is so wrong. I can't wait.
You asked for it, Collier.
I know where that guy lives. I know where that guy lives.
Yes, in Accra, probably around Accra, New York, somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We are on this. I am calling out the posse right now. Do you have any closing thoughts for us on this wonderful Monday, November the 9th, the year 2020?
Yes. My psychic powers tell me that tomorrow will be Tuesday, November 10th. You heard it here first.
It is already Tuesday, November 10th, in, let's see.
Philippines.
In the fatherland.
Ah, Deutschland.
Yes, that wonderful little land of castles.
Yes, land of castles.
We hope to get back there soon. I do have to say, if you watch the Tank Museum on YouTube, the Tank Museum from UK, I am an executive producer of their videos. I'm a marshal. I'm a field marshal because I sponsor them. That's basically I spend money. I give them money.
What does that have to do with technology?
Well, what it has to do with technology is it's a YouTube thing, and I sponsor it, and you get to see William Collier, marshal. Or field marshal, no less. Yes.
Wow. Now that's to see William Collier is the scariest prospect I've encountered since Halloween.
To see me is to know me is to love me. We have seconds to go. Thank you everybody for tuning in again. This has been Tech Talk on WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Thank you all. Talk to you next week.